Selfishness and pride is the number one enemy that will keep us from serving the Lord as we should. That will keep us from becoming a saved person. And our goal at Christ Community Church, obviously, is to become a safe environment, to become safe people, to become loving people, to become the kind of people that make sure that we get the things out of our own eyes, the big logs, before we take the specks out of someone else's eyes. And but I want to begin by reading this passage, which is a beautiful picture of the humility that God wants from us as we fulfill our calling before Him. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. He says, "So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each one of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who through, although he was the form of God, did not count quality with God as a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah, is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." What an awesome picture of what we should be as loving people. That Jesus, being fully God, and he never stopped being God when he came to this earth, he said, "That's not something I'm going to grasp for. That's not something that I'm going to push. It's not something that I'm going to talk about, so to speak, or to blow my own horn and my own trumpet." Jesus only spoke what the Father told him to speak when he was on this earth. He humbled himself. And so he talks about this whole selfish ambition thing. Now, as a whole, as Americans, we're taught from the time we're young to be selfish. Get things for yourself. And most of the time it is at the expense of other people in our lives. And we're number one, right? Look out for the interest of me. What makes me feel good? And he says, as believers, as Christians, God has called us to be safe people, to be humble people that look out for each other's interest. In other words, that we care about what other people care about, not just what we care about. That we're excited about what other people are excited about, not just what we're excited about. That we proclaim Jesus Christ is Lord by how we live. And a church becomes unsafe. I become unsafe. I become dangerous. We have dangerous homes when Jesus is not Lord. When He's not Messiah. When He's not our only hope. And I want to define this morning, and we're going to go through some different scriptures. And don't worry, this message has a lot of information, but a lot of it we're just going to breeze through, but because that's for you to take home and digest. There's no way that we can go through each and every one of these and spend a lot of time, but it is for you to be able to understand, one, two things. One, if I'm a dangerous person, or if I don't know what it means to be a safe person, I'm going to look and find out what it means to be safe. Two, if I'm in an environment where it's dangerous, where people in my family or in my workplace are abusing me in some way, we're going to look at how to deal with these dangerous kind of people. And we've all experienced them in our lives. We've all experienced people that are just out to take advantage of us and get from us what they want at our expense. Perhaps some of us have grown up in homes where we were told that we were stupid and that we were dumb and that we were idiots. That's just so that your parents could have control over you and manipulate you. Many of us have grown up in homes where our parents or father or stepfather, stepmother, or a neighbor, a teacher, or somebody has manipulated us, has put us down so that they feel better about themselves. So what are the traits of these dangerous people? And before we get into that, we have to look at the definition. And Steve Arterburn and Henry Codd, I think, put it together really well. And basically, it's a summary of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25 in your notes there. A safe person is someone who influences me to be the person that God intended me to be. Not the person that your spouse intended you to be. Not the person that your boyfriend or girlfriend intended you to be. Not what your parents intend you to be. But what God intended you to be. A safe person looks at your life, sees God's calling, and supports that. They influence you to be better at what you're at. They see your gifts and your callings. And parents, you know, I know, understand that there's a big temptation today to live our lives through our kids and through sports and things like that. And sometimes we have a temptation to push our kids into things and just because we like that. They may not like that. You know, when I grew up in the church, there was people that were pushed into things, but that wasn't their gift or talent. And I remember in the little Christian school I went to, you were nothing unless you played all the sports of the school, whether you were good at it or not. And so some other gifts and talents that people had were pushed by the wayside. God has made you with a specific purpose in mind. He's created you with certain talents and certain ways about you. You don't have to be like everybody else. You don't have to fit into a mold that someone tries to make you to be. What has God intended you to be? And Hebrews 10 says, "And let us consider on stirring one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." He says, let us think about, let us not just pass this by, but how can I stir someone up to love and good works? And that word stir literally means a poke in the side. It's like the spurs on a horse. If you ride horses, that's what gets them moving. So it's creative ways of how I can stir someone up to love and to do good things for the kingdom. And by controlling, manipulating, and abusing and threatening people, that's not going to get done. It's going to get the opposite done. It's going to repress somebody's growth in their walk with the Lord. So what are the traits of dangerous people? I'm just going to go through some of these quickly because all of us have maybe dealt with this at some point or another. Or we might say, you know, I want to learn to be a safer people. So if I want to learn to be a safe person, I'm going to avoid these things at all cost. So number one, an unsafe person is opposed to your growth and your personal healing. They want to maintain control over your life. Perhaps you might have a spouse or somebody at home. You just kind of are caught in this whole environment. And the moment you pick up your Bible and you start to read and you start to become hungry for God, immediately you start getting criticized and condemned. Why is that? Because unsafe people feel guilty. They are opposed to your healing. They don't want you to heal and change because that means you're going to get out from under their control and then they're going to feel uncomfortable because maybe they have to grow and change now. So unsafe people are opposed to your spiritual growth in your life. They don't want you to be healed. They want to maintain the control. So safe people celebrate your change for the better. You overcome this. And you know what? I've heard time and time again of people that come and say, you know, I just barely got this right in my life. I just started reading my Bible. I just started coming to church. And then my spouse has said, what are you doing that for? That's for holy rollers. Or, why are you so intensely in the Word of God? You shouldn't, you didn't, you don't have to do that. And they start to ask questions. They start to make fun. They start to knock you down as far as they can get you down to make you feel as if you can't change. And then they've got you back under their control. Jesus says about children, and He calls us His children as well. It says, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in Me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. Jesus takes this kind of stuff seriously. He says, guys, this is a really serious matter. For someone that hinders your spiritual growth, that knocks you down, that puts a hose on your fire, that basically puts water hose and sprays your spiritual fire and passion out through discouragement, through all these kinds of things in your life. He said it's better that if you tie a big stone around their neck and throw it. That's how important, that's how much Jesus loves us and how He wants us to grow and succeed in our spiritual lives. Number two, an unsaved person resists your needs for relationship. They avoid closeness and a vulnerability. So in other words, they're okay with hearing about all of your problems because they're going to use that against you later, but they never open up about their own problems or maybe about things that they're going through in their life. Now this scripture is a remarkable scripture because it's the 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And this is after Paul had written the first letter and dealing with sexual sin in the church and all kinds of things. And he confronted that. And he says, you know, I presented to you guys in an open manner. So I want to invite you to open up your heart as well and be vulnerable in this. And I love this scripture. He says, we've spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. We've openly shared about the things that we deal with in our lives. This is basically what Paul was saying. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections. In return, and as I speak as to children, widen your hearts also. See, unsaved people do not want to open up and be vulnerable in a friendship or a relationship. If that's the case, run. Because they're not going to be present in the relationship. They're going to be there, but they're not mentally present. They're not really interested in opening up about their lives. They just want to find out your dirty laundry so they can use that to keep you under control and make themselves feel better. They're not interested in providing nutrients for your growth. You know, there's something to be said. The Bible says that, you know, a man that has friends, they have to be friend themselves, or be friendly themselves, in other words. If we initiate, if you're always opening up to somebody and they start to back off and run away, that's a sign that you need to back off too. That's a sign that you need to pull back too. Because safe people don't want that closeness and vulnerability. Safe people celebrate that. When you open up and are vulnerable, here's the question that we need to ask. Do they move towards you or do they move away from you? See, unsafe people are scared when you're a little bit vulnerable because they're afraid that they might have to be vulnerable too. They'll back off, if that makes sense. Unsafe people will run instead of moving towards you, instead of opening up themselves. So, you meet a friend. This could be romantic relationships, this could just be brotherly relationships, sisterly relationships, friendships at school. If you start to share something personal and then they don't do the same thing, don't give your pearls to that person. Because they're not safe. If that person is perfect all the time and they're on top of everything and you've seen these people, you ask them how they're doing and they're right away they're saying, I'm highly favored and blessed to the Lord. And even though they just yelled at somebody going down the road, you know those kind of people? They're super spiritual. I got the Holy Ghost and I'm filled with the Holy Spirit and I do this and do that and do this. And they never, ever talk about anything that's going wrong in their life. There's a number one sign that they're not safe. they're not safe because they're not real. They're not vulnerable before you. So that's a way to tell. Number three, an unsafe person does not like to admit their weaknesses. So they're going to hide their weaknesses by focusing on your weaknesses, and they're going to put you down to build themselves up in order to make themselves feel superior. So say people are willing to admit when they have problems, they refuse to focus on putting others down. So if that person is always honing in on your weaknesses and they never work on their own weaknesses, they're not safe. They're not safe. So God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Number four, an unsaved person is religious instead of spiritual. And I think we need to spend a little bit more time on that. You say, wait a minute, aren't we all supposed to be religious? There's a huge difference between being a religious person and being a spiritual person that has a vital living relationship with God. You see, a spiritual person knows all the right words to say. They can say amen, they can quote scripture, they can talk about certain things that sound spiritual, they can even say glory to God or praise the Lord, brother or sister. But there's something missing in their heart relationship with the Lord. So an unsaved person is religious. Let's go through these points so we can understand. They use religious terms to avoid and hide their own problems. So I have problems in my life. I don't want other people to know. Let's get religious. In fact, there's maybe a song we can make. Let's get religious, right? Let's get religious. So people don't find out. Let's talk about a miracle that happened in my life 30 years ago. Or let's talk about a spiritual victory that I had when I was walking with God 10 years ago, even though I haven't been walking with Him for 10 years. Or you ask people, where do you go to church and who's your pastor? I don't know who it is. I think the name of the church is, yeah, I go to church. This is a religious, they don't know the name of their church. That's a religious person. They're not safe. They twist the Bible to gain control over others. I've heard of people and have encountered people where husbands will take the Bible and they'll hold that over their wife's heads and they'll basically kind of make their own theology and doctrine. It doesn't matter if it doesn't agree with the pastor and all the other believers in the church and throughout history, from church history, from the time of the apostles, but they'll make it say something they want to say so that they can control their children and their wife and get them to do what they want to do. Don't use the Bible. And this is what the Ten Commandments, it says, you shall not take the name of your Lord God's name in vain. He's not talking about just when we say, oh my, yeah, that's part of it. But it's when we use God to cover up our sinfulness, to gain control over other people's lives. They see themselves as above everyone else and refuse to see their negative qualities. They use the Bible to point out others' faults rather than reading it for their own personal growth and relationship with Jesus. And they're self-righteous and project their own flaws and insecurities on others. Basically, they talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. So say people are humble and focused on their relationship with Jesus. And this is what God says. He says, I dwell in a high and a holy place, and also with him who is contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. God dwells close to those that are humble. Those that allow God to squeeze their heart to the place of brokenness. That's what contrite is. To be squeezed to the place of brokenness. An unsaved person is religious instead of spiritual. So, let's be spiritual. You, it says in the Word, you who are spiritual, restore those that are in sin. He doesn't say you who are religious or you who know church terms or churchianity, but you who are spiritual. Say people are humbled and focused on their relationship with Jesus. So if we fear the Lord, we wouldn't use God to cover up the things in our life. Man, I've seen so many people, and in fact, I've done it myself, and I'm sure you have too, where we use God to run from God. We use God to Boy. Or we might listen to a sermon and how we process spiritual truth. I've had periods of times of that when I was younger in my life where I would listen to the pastor's sermon and I would say, that would be good for my little brother that's sitting over there to hear that. Or, I hope my dad hears that one. Or, you know, I hope Rob, I hope Rob is listening today. So all the while, instead of thinking, God, how are you dealing with me right now? How are you dealing in my heart right now? So that's what a safe person does, is that they're humble in their relationship. Five, an unsafe person is defensive. They're insecure and unable to receive feedback or criticism. So if you are that kind of person, move towards the safe side and say, feedback is a good thing. Feedback in my life is a good thing. They get angry when they're confronted and not willing to take responsibility for their actions. So you come to an unsafe person and you say, you know, you have whipped cream on your face. They say, no, I don't. How dare you say that I have whipped cream on my face? A defensive person, when you say, you know, what you said to me the other day really, really hurt my feelings. What are you talking about? You're too sensitive. You interpreted it wrong. Anybody hear that before? Yeah. You don't know what you're talking about. An unsafe person is defensive. Safe people have the desire to grow and receive feedback. I love this verse in Proverbs. It says, a rebuke goes deeper into a man of understanding than 100 blows into a fool. So if we could take a whip or a switch and give you 100 blows to a fool, he's basically saying if you receive the rebuke, if you're an understanding person, a person that's willing to take feedback, if you're a person that's willing to take that, he said, even 100 blows on a fool is not going to change a thing. So, six. An unsafe person apologizes without ever changing their behavior. Husbands, wife, have you ever done that to your spouse? Oh, I'm so sorry. There's been a few times that Tanya had to say, yeah, you're sorry, but you said that yesterday too, and you did the same thing last week. Oh, I did? That should be an awakening to us. So, an unsaved person apologizes without changing. They don't have regret for what they've done, and they don't change. They make all kinds of promises, but don't keep them, just to get you off their back. So if you know a person like that, that's not maybe the kind of person that's going to be safe. Safe people will make behavior modifications not because they have to, but because they truly want to help themselves and other people. So, Tanya said I did that twice, so that means I have to change. If I don't want to help myself, and I don't want to make this marriage better, I don't have the desire to make it better, I'm not going to change. No matter how much I say I'm going to change. I'll get it this time, baby. this is a side note. No, the ADD is going to kick in here. But I had my son, or adopted son from Germany. It was a foreign exchange student here this week visiting from Germany. He's now in college and law school and all that kind of stuff. But when we were going down the road, he wants to listen to what is called pop music. And every single song had the same beat and had the word baby in it. So you know, you want to know what's popular today, it has the word baby in it. All right. So next time you say baby, I promise you. Promise you, I'm going to get it right this time. Baby, oh baby, baby, I'm not that mean. I'm really not that bad of a person. Baby, lest you make the change, lest you modify, it's going to do no good. That makes you unsafe. Jesus says, little children, let us love in word or talk, Let me read it right as it is in the Scripture. Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. So, I think we'll kick into some other things next week, because I think that's already enough for us to digest for this morning. But I want to encourage you, church, think what this church will be like if we take these things to heart and say, I'm going to be as far from an unsaved person in my marriage and in my church family as I possibly can be. And young people, if you're making friends in school and you're dating and they are unsafe people, that they consistently carry on some of these traits of dangerous people, run as fast as you can from them, set up boundaries and say, I don't need friends like this. Cut it off. Jesus says, let your yes be yes and let your no be no. If you need to say no, say no. Everybody say no. Doesn't that feel good? Somebody's abusing you, someone's being unsafe, you can say no. God has given you the power of the Holy Spirit. He's seated you in the heavenly realms above all principalities and power. Because you know what? You say, well, that's not being very loving to say no to somebody when they're hurting me or they're putting me down. It's not very loving to tell them no. Because after all, don't we have freedom where we live in a free country and we can do what we want? But you know, the only chance that person will have perhaps of changing and even thinking about what's going on in their life is if you say no. That's probably the most loving thing that you could do for that person is say no. Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed or in truth. Now, I'm going to invite the worship team to come, but I want to also open up. We do this sometimes at Christ Community Church, where I want to say, do you have any thoughts or questions about what we went through of unsafe people? Because I want to make sure everybody understands this. I want to be the safest person that I can be. I want us to be the safest church that we could possibly be in our relationships that we build with each other. So any feedback, any questions, any things you're wondering about from what we just covered in the Word of God and these Scriptures today and these principles taken from God's Word. Anybody? Any feedback? Any thoughts? Anything to add? Right.
There's going to be those times that don't stick in it.
Right.
Change it.
Yes. Yeah, stick it out. And we will make mistakes over and over again, but as long as we keep saying, okay, I'm going to put this into action. I'm going to make a commitment to do this. What, anyone else? Yes, sir. That's right. Yes. Yes, yeah, and we'll be getting into that further on, because if we become strong, safe people, we have the ability to set up safe boundaries that we're not going to get caught up in what they're caught up in. And it goes back to the no thing. It's the best thing that we could say to someone else. Anyone else? All right. Well, God, I just pray that Your Word would go into our hearts. God, we want to be loving as You love. And Lord, I pray for myself and every one of my brothers and sisters. We all struggle, God. We've all either been the victims of unsafe people or we've been unsafe people ourselves. And we come before you and we admit that, God. We admit that as humans, that we make mistakes. But Lord, we're coming to you for hope because you give us these principles in your word. And most of all, you sent your Son Jesus to die in our place for our sins. And you rose again to give us life. Just as we sang this morning, Jesus, we're thankful that this faith, this life, doesn't depend on our own goodness or righteousness, but depends on your righteousness that you've given us. So Lord, I pray that all over in this room right now, that you touch each person's heart, that you give us the strength, if they're believers, Father, that they would rise up in the righteousness you've given them. They'd live it out, they'd walk it out, give them the ability. And Lord, if there's those here today that don't know you as their Lord and Savior, I pray, God, that their hearts would be melted, that they would repent and turn to faith in you and receive the free gift of the gospel. Lord Jesus, we ask that your Spirit would descend on us in gentleness and give us the ability to digest the truth of your word. Lord, we so long to be the loving people as you are loving to us. God, I pray that you bring us to this place of awe of who you are in your presence. We give you the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.